Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to SharonJomer.com. Tonight's Parsha Shir is on Parshas Vayakel. We thank everybody for joining us. One second, please. Okay, the opening of the Parsha of Vayakel, Moshe Rashi tells us that this is the after Yom Kippur, and it's the custom that everyone is asking each other for forgiveness on the eve of Yom Kippur. However, it's important to bear in mind that the same way that we ask for forgiveness beforehand, we should continue the effort through and past Yom Kippur to have shalom and achla, to have peace and friendship among one another. And that's the concept of Vayakel Moshe, l'macharas Yom Kippurim. After Yom Kippur, everyone gets together once again, and there should be a felicity among the rank and file of the Jewish people that we should find a way to always find a common denominator to get along and not to let the numerator push our actions and motivations to areas of concern that would deviate the shalom and the achla that we seek to employ. Next, it says in the pasuk that lo sevara ish b'chol moshosechem b'yom haShabbos, and our Sfarim bring down that even though fire of Gehenim is lit during Shabbos, one who violates the Shabbos receives a malikin es Gehenim b'miyuchad b'shvilo k'day lo ansho b'zer l'ashu shmir shematira Torah shelo yirgmo yidei chilo Shabbos shivara es eish Gehenim. So the Torah tells us that there's a concept over here that a person should withstand the temptation of lighting a fire on Shabbos, because it is akin to lighting a form of Gehenim on Shabbos. And so if that's difficult to understand, then maybe the following explanation is a little bit easier to understand, which is brought out from the Zohar HaKadosh, which is that when we are Shomer Shabbos, we actually help the Rishayim not to burn on Shabbos. Now, when you hear this, you say to yourself, well, why does that make any sense? And when I learned it, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me. Well, that's because I'm not that smart. But I think it's because there's an appreciation that the Rishayim give to the Jewish people, having, you know, done wicked things to them in the past, they now recognize the importance. That's why when we say, Vehu Rachum b'motzei Shabbos, there's a reason why we say Vehu Rachum, because that is the kindling, so to speak, of the fire of Gehenim. And now all of a sudden the Umas Olam that were very critical and outright wicked to the Jewish people, so that's when the fire of Gehenim begins anew, and that's when they get started, that's when they get really nervous. Some say it's not when we say Vehu Rachum, that little fraction of a second, but rather it's when we say Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh, when we light the fire, Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh, when we say the bracha during Havdalah, which takes place 20 minutes later, that's when the fire of Gehenim begins. Now, if you know, in the Olam HaEmes, 20 minutes, you know, is not the same calculation here as 20 minutes, but it nevertheless is immediate. And then the third explanation is that it goes according to the shul that has the last saying of Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh, or the last one who says Havdalah to exit out of Shabbat. Maybe perhaps that's when the fires can begin anew. There's a medrash that brings down that there was a dream that a certain Russia had, told her over to Rabbi Akiva, and Turnus Rufus, who was a very evil Roman general, who spoke to Rabbi Akiva and said that his father was came to him in a dream and expressed Hakaras HaTov to the Jewish people for keeping the Shabbos, because were it not for the Jewish people keeping the Shabbos, then Rishayim, such as this person, would have been burning all the time. So the fact that he has a reprieve for 25 hours is a menuchas nefesh for him. But it also turns the tables, which is the way I think some understand this, that now they're dependent upon the Jewish people, whereas beforehand they were independent of the Jewish people, not thinking that there's anything that the Jewish people can add in the form of value to them. And now this all of a sudden becomes a tremendous source of value. The degradation, so to speak, of the illumination of this fire of Gehenim, that for them is a tremendous nachas ruach, that they have this reprieve. However, it's not forever. It's only for 25 hours, and then Gehenna starts anew. The third explanation to Lo Sivara Ish L'chol Moshe Zechem B'Yom HaShabbos is that typically during the week, we're all so busy running around here and there, not able to sit down at a table and to look at one another as brothers, sisters, looking at your parents, grandparents, siblings, at cousins, friends, and all of a sudden the insults start flying back and forth. It could be an issue with a political opinion or a spiritual opinion or a physical opinion or whatever opinion. It could be a sports opinion, whatever it is. All of a sudden when we're sitting together at the table, we're rife with confrontation with one another. So therefore the Torah reminds us that when we sit together at the table, which is Shabbos Kodesh, we should try our very best to limit the potential for us to get into a heated debate or discussion, that we don't talk to the family member for another week, or maybe longer, maybe a little less, and rather we should lo sivaro eish. Let's not kindle any fires. Let's not kindle any machlokas. Let's not kindle any disagreements. Bechol moshe seichem, where we dwell, because that's where most of the problems emanate from, where we're dwelling from. B'yom HaShabbos, on Shabbos itself, because that's the day of rest when we should really be thinking and talking in Torah and finding common elements that bring us together rather than those that bring us or draw us apart. So that's the drash on Lo Sivar Eish Bechol Moshe Seichem B'yom HaShabbos. The next and the last topic for tonight is, it says in the Pasuk, B'tzal ben Uri ben Chor. And so the question is, why does it stop at Chor? Why was this so significant? So the Rashi tells us very straightforward, as Rashi always teaches us, because Chor was the son of Miriam. And therefore, Bezalel was Zocher to complete the Mishkan. But this actually opens up a lot more questions, because why specifically, you know, stop at Miriam? Because he was also the son of Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was married to Miriam from Shevet Yehuda. So why stop there? So other Mefarshim chime in and they say that he was, we talk about Bezalel because of the schos, the great schos, the merit of his grandfather, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. What was the great thing about his grandfather? What did he do? Because he was Moser Nafsho B'masa Ego. He gave up his life during the actions of the Chet HaEgel. And he was the one who said, he deviated from everyone else and said, no, you can't do this. You can't worship a foreign god. You can't create somebody in the presence of, in absence of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is not gone. And he said, no, what are you talking about? Look, the Satan showed us. Well, they didn't know it was a Satan, but there was Moshe Rabbeinu lying dead in the clouds. And they thought for sure that Moshe Rabbeinu had passed. But this was all the guise of the Satan to test the Jewish people. And many of us, unfortunately, fell for that. But Bezalel did not. And I'm sorry, Bezalel's grandfather, Chor, did not. And he chastised the people, telling them, you cannot behave this way. This is madness. We must stop this at once. And they were not happy with what he had to say, and they lynched him. And then this goes into the whole concept and topic of who was he to say these things. We know that Chor with Aaron were the two people that stood on each side of Moshe's arms, helping them be raised when they fought against Amalek in order that the Jewish people should succeed in battle. And when they were lowered, they fell in battle. And so the Gemara tells us, V'chiyadav shal Moshe asu mechama, was it the result of his hands being high or low that the Jewish people were successful or unsuccessful in battle? No! It has nothing to do with Moshe's hands. But the fact that Aaron and Chor raised them to such a high level, raised them up, then the Jewish people looked at Moshe's hands, and when looking at his hands, they looked klapimala, they looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim, they looked at the heavens, and they thought about the Siyata Shemaya that they'll need in order to succeed in battle, and that is when they succeeded in overcoming their enemies, specifically Amalek. And so therefore, Chor played such a pivotal role in this in this effort that we pay homage to Bezalel's name, which always mentions Chor, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. In the schus of Chor, Bezalel was zocha at a very young age of only 13 years to build the Mishkan and to be Mole Chachma, just like his grandfather was Mole Gvura, and just like his grandfather who had gotten it from his father, who jumped into the sea up to Abelos Sefasov until he couldn't breathe anymore, in order to demonstrate his emunah and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish people will be saved from the calamity of the sea, which later split for them in the schus of Nachshon ben Aminadav, and in the schus of Aron HaShel Yosef, and in the schus of the Haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, that they will succeed in this and every single endeavor, God willing, Be'ezus Hashem. We should only know B'suras Tovos. Vayakel Moshe, let's draw ourselves closer to Shul this week. Daven, recognize that we have a responsibility to behave nicely to each other and to create circumstances of peace among Klal Yisrael, among the rank and file of each and every single one of us. And in that schus, God willing, we should only know of the Suros Tovos and happy occasions to come in the future. This is Mordechai Plavsker in Hillside, New Jersey, wishing you the very best, Parshas Vayakel, and a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. Please join us next week. We'll continue this discussion Sunday night on the Parsha. Have a good Shabbos.